Good morning. You are listening to EAA Radio 1210 AM 100.7 FM and around the world on the web at www.airventure.org/radio. We are here with Push to Talk, our ATC hour, and we have Darren Gaines in the studio this morning, as well as,
Grant Anderson.
Grant Anderson. Ah, I see. Okay, that was our list. We're going to talk about modernization and fatigue. And also, I'm joined by Afterburner Owl.
Hello. Good morning.
So, modernization and fatigue. You want to tell us a little bit about what we're talking about when we talk about modernization in ATC?
Well, as far as modernization, of course, there's a big to-do as far as next-gen and what that's going to have for us in the future. From our perspective, it is in the future. A lot of it is proof of concept issues and not funded or developed at this time. And we're still looking at 10 to 15 years down the road on that. So from our perspective, what we're most concerned with would be the now-gen. What can we do to have the system as it is right now still be functional, still be maintained? And that's where we've had some issues from facility to facility as far as, well, some things are being cut back on and other things are somewhat dysfunctional. And we still have to get between that point now to the time in the future of the now gen, whatever that might be.
What is the cross-section of old versus new equipment? Everybody's talking about how the equipment needs to be upgraded. How often is that happening? And are you still vacuum tubes next to transistors? Is that still a lot of facilities?
Well, and which facilities get the priority? Because yeah. I know we were talking yesterday with some people that were in the Midwest that didn't get the same stuff that I've seen over on the West Coast. So
it is. As far as the agency, I can only speak so much to their budgetary process, but it does end up being separate pools between different regions. So some are rich, some are lean. As a general answer to your question, the larger facilities do get the priority, and the smaller facilities that most of the GA would be flying in and out of, as a general rule, are going to be on the tail end of that.
As an aside to that, as an accident investigator, a lot of times it will take a tragic event or a close to tragic event to get equipment implemented at a facility, or at least the timetable accelerated or kept on schedule. If you have a severe runway incursion or an accident at an airport and technology might enhance that, those facilities move closer to the top of the list as well.
And then what sort of, as Afterburner Al here was asking, the types of what are they still dealing with versus what are the first things to be modernized and what's sort of the progress of updating a facility?
You want to speak to the center side of that? I'll try the term.
Yeah, as the current en route air traffic controller, we are moving into electronic, automating more and more of the job, and we have electronic flight strips at almost all the facilities now, and we have what we call NEXRAD weather imported onto the radar scope to give us better weather information to advise and assist pilots to circumnavigate weather systems. But we're always looking to upgrade and advance the technology and the automation to assist the human element in the process. We don't want to ever eliminate that, because a lot of times when automation fails, the human link is the last one to provide the safety net and the intervention when something goes wrong. So automation is good as long as it helps in our traffic control. We don't want that automation to increase workload. And sometimes that's what we find. Previously, air traffic controllers had a direct link into building the products and working with the contractors and the engineers and the FAA to give a product to the air traffic controllers that was actually functional and workable for us. Now, in the last 2 years, air traffic controllers have been removed from that equation, and we get the product from the contractor and are told to work with it rather than get our input up front to make it easier for us.
And I'd have to second everything that Darren just mentioned, and also state that for the most part, the contractors are absolutely trying to put out a good product. They work with what input that they have. And when they don't have the interface with the actual end user on the product, sometimes they have no idea that they're off on a wrong track. And the equipment gets deployed. Surprise, surprise, it's not usable. Has to go back to the shop and be redone, which is a very expensive process, as opposed to just including the human factors and user issues on the front end. On the terminal side, centers are more of a monolithic entity in that most centers are exactly the same, can use the same type of equipment. On the terminal side, you have a mixture of tower only, tower combined tracon, multi tracons, and it's a bit of a mixed bag. Stars, if you guys have heard of that, was the big system, was going to initiated in the 90s to replace everything. That's well behind schedule and over budget. There are some intermediate fixes right now with some color displays, things that that look nice. And frankly, from our perspective, dependability is what we want. If it has 100 features, that's great. But what about these 5 that we really need? And is that dependable? And so it's again a mixed bag, and it's a dangerous step to completely rely on next gen, something 10 to 15 years down the road, while it's going to pieces right now. That's not exactly serving the flying community very well.
How is developing a system through a governmental process, especially something as crucial as this, how difficult is that to do?
It all comes down to this, and I've been using this line for quite some time. The governmental process is very simple. You spec out what the FAA specs out what they need, and then they ultimately choose the lowest bidder to meet minimum specifications. So that's where the bar is set. They don't strive to pay a little bit more for a better product. It's whoever comes in the cheapest to meet the minimum specs is what we get usually get implemented on the floor.
Is next gen something that the controllers would like to see? Is it something that they're agreeable to as a system, or does it need to be modified just a little bit or a lot?
Well, I would first say the controllers not only agree with modernization, we're desperate for it. But in answer to your question, Al, it's difficult to say, because next gen is really a set of words right now and concepts. There is no hard specs of what it is, with the exception of ADS-B. Nobody really knows what that is. It's a catch phase. It's vaporware, if you will, right now at the moment. So we're in a bit of a situation in that there's a lot of talk. There's a whole funding mechanism, and obviously the whole user fee issue, which unfortunately isn't resolved with the state of FAA reauthorization. Right now, the best way we can answer your question is yes, we need modernization, and hopefully next gen will actually be that.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break right now, and then we'll be back with more of the ATC Hour. You are listening to EAA Radio on 1210 AM, 100.7 FM, and around the world on the web at airventure.org/radio.